I do know what it's like to live with your father, she said gently. Yeah, Matt told her, and you gave up doing it. She ignored this. I've got you a ticket. You'll have to get a taxi from Branscombe, I'm afraid, but your father can pay for that. Give me some money anyway, Matt said. He won't have been to the bank. He knows you're coming, she said, but she sorted out a couple of notes from her purse anyway, more than enough. Matt took the money and the ticket, realizing at some point he had just accepted that he was going. He doesn't know I'm coming, he corrected her. You've told him I'm coming. That's different. He won't remember. He'll be planning some dig or going through some ancient papers or writing some lecture about pre-whatever pottery fragments found in an old cellar in Nottingham or something. Mum drained the last of her coffee, and Matt realized he had hardly touched his juice. He made one last appeal. Can't I at least stay with you until you have to leave? Even if it's only a day, I can get some shopping done, go to the museums. You hate museums, she told him, and shops. Look, if I'm to make my flight, I really need to leave now, and your train goes in 17 minutes. Can't you even stay and see me off? I have to pack and then catch a plane. She stood up, expecting him to do the same. Matt stood awkwardly in front of her, knowing what was coming next. Mum gave him a quick hug and pecked him on the cheek. You'll manage. You're a big boy now. He watched her hurry out of the station, checking her watch on the way. So treat me like one, he said. Struggling with his luggage, Matt went to look for a book in the newsagents. But he could barely get along the aisle between the bookshelves, and people glared at him as if having a suitcase and bags in a railway station was completely thoughtless and unnecessary. One woman tutted audibly as she was forced to move slightly to let Matt past, so he made sure he drove the case over her foot. Oh, I'm sorry, he smiled apologetically, hoping she realized he didn't mean it. But when she mumbled, yes, well, that's all right, young man, Matt felt instantly bad about it and turned quickly away. There was nothing, really, that he fancied reading. But he chose a book anyway, something about a kid who turned into a werewolf and fell in love with a werewolf girl. He paid for it out of the money Mum had given him. There was still more than enough for a taxi. As it was, he dozed off almost as soon as the train pulled out of the station. He was jolted awake an hour later, surprised to see how far they had already got as the train pulled out of yet another tiny village station. Better not fall asleep again, he thought, or he'd miss the stop. Another hour, and the train finally drew into the little station at Branscombe Underhill. Sure enough, just as Matt had expected, there was no sign of Dad. It was an hour's brisk walk from here to the even smaller village where Dad lived, but with his luggage, there was no way that Matt was going to attempt it, even though the rain had stopped.